This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And, you know, we're in the summertime. Could be a good time to be out in your garden working on it. But, you know, not every garden is the same. They change from location to location. So what do you do if you have a coastal garden, if you're living by the water? I'm joined this morning by Jenny Dillon, gardening editor with Better Homes and Gardens magazine. How are you this morning, Jenny?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's so special about a coastal area and a garden on a coastal area?
Oh, well, there's a couple of, more than a couple actually. There's probably about three main things that make coastal gardens different from every other garden. One, the soil is generally sandy, which means that water passes through and therefore nutrients, they tend to wash away very, very quickly. So that's often a problem with plants. The other thing is that you've always got a sea breeze. That keeps the atmosphere dry, it causes stunted growth or deformed growth or twisted growth for plants that aren't used to it. And the third main thing is that because you're on the coast, you've got a lot of salt in the atmosphere, and salt can be toxic to many plants. So coastal plants are really special because they've adapted to these circumstances.
So what kind of, adaptations then do coastal plants make to survive that close to the ocean?
Well, the most significant thing that you see is that, well, often they're often more smaller and more compact than those that are grown inland. But the most obvious places that we see the differences is in the leaves. They can be a lot smaller. And they do things like they grow hairs to reduce the loss of moisture. They may be shinier, and that helps them deflect the heat away from the plant. Or they can be leathery. And they can also thicken to add extra layers of protection against the sun, salt and wind, and help them store water when, you know, the water in the soil drains away.
And what kind of coastal plants should people be looking at for, I guess, like the South Australian climate?
Well, for South Australia, I mean, there's lots and lots of terrific plants. There's a lot of native plants that you can look at. I mean, there's a beautiful sort of weeping tree, small tree called a willow myrtle. So you look for the names, you know, like you've got Heath Banksia. You know that because it's called Heath, then it's used to wind, it's used to being exposed, and in the case of the Banksia, it's used to salt as well. And then you've got something like, if you see something like a beech rose, you think, oh, must be for the beach, and it is. And the beech rose is an absolutely gorgeous rose, true rose, that actually thrives right on the sea. And then you've got some things like sea thrift and sea kale. All these things in the name, you just know that they're going to be ideal for the coast.
Hmm. And I guess these plants would be pretty sturdy as well, because when you think about it, just the landscapes across Australia are so different, and the weather as well. So imagine being so close to the sea, they'd be withstanding pretty high winds.
Well, yes, and while I was saying before that most of them are compact, you know, because that's the way they grow, the wind keeps them down, you can still actually, you know, as you say, they're strong, you can actually get some really tall architectural types of plants, you know, like the New Zealand flax. Now, in New Zealand, it's windy all the time, and you have to be tough to be a plant in New Zealand, so the New Zealand flax is stunning, you know, when you sort of set it up high on a hill and you've got that beautiful sort of statuesque plant coming up. You've got things like red hot pokers and our own native spear lily, called the giant spear lily. That looks gorgeous. Yuccas, cabbage trees, all these things.
There's a plant called yuccas?
Yes.
What a fun name.
It's a succulent, yes. It's a beautiful spiky plant. Yes. Big, strong leaves.
And so these plants, of course, you know, if I live pretty inland, but if I wanted to, I guess, get a coastal feel to my garden, would they still survive further away from the coastline?
Oh, yes, of course they will. Yes, yes. In fact, you know, coastal plants are fantastic in that they do adapt to other conditions. They don't necessarily have to have the salt in the atmosphere and the breeze blowing them all over the place. The one thing that is really important for coastal plants is that their soil is sandy. They will not cope if you've got a heavy clay soil.
So you got to let them, I guess that's the importance of knowing your soils then, isn't it? Because, you know, different plants, different needs, and soil, without thinking about it, really is quite varied.
soil is just a whole new thing altogether, or big thing, you know. Like, I mean, when I was studying horticulture, soil was just, it was chemistry, it was physics, it was biology, it was everything. The soil is what makes your plants. You know, that's where all the action takes place, down there in the soil. And if you've got the wrong soil, your plant won't thrive.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for your time today.
That's quite all right.
That was Jenny Dillon, gardening editor with Better Homes and Gardens magazine on your Classic It's Breakfast.